Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
When you look at the composition of teams that are still in the postseason, I think they've got, you know, strong starting rotations, which we had for most of the season. Certainly injuries played a role and took a toll on us, but we were able to lean into some of that development pipeline that we've talked about and were very intentional in building, and saw guys like Connolly and Peyton and Kyle Harrison and Hunter Dobbins and others step in and contribute. You know, I think it would be fair to look at some of those other teams and say that they hit the ball out of the park a little bit more than we do. And, you know, while scoring runs is, you know, this is kind of a zero-sum game, right? And it doesn't really matter how you score. But in the postseason, a lot of runs come via the home run because the pitching is so dominant. So I think that's a consideration. And then, you know, don't want to speak for Alex here, but I would just say when you have a chance to convert outs, especially in the postseason, that's precious, and we have to make sure that we convert on them.
You're listening to Arcan, the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
As we move into the 8 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. Nice to have you with us here tonight. We are Boston Sports Original. And we will have our usual bells and whistles here tonight. 8:30, we'll have your New England Nightly News. 9:30, we will have Arcan Fire. And, of course, 9:45, we will bring you Clickbait. People were asking about the dongs. I think Andy and Fitzy were asking about the dongs. It's a little too soon to get back to the dongs. I think after the World Series, maybe we'll have some sort of special dong presentation. Special dong presentation. We'll do something.
Maybe we'll be wrapped up in a gift box.
We may not present our dongs, but we will have some sort of, yes, in a box perhaps. Dongs in a box. Don't play that song. I don't think there's a clean version.
I was
going to
get the clean version.
I'm not sure there is a clean version, right? The whole song is it's about putting your junk in the box there. Anyway, neither here nor there. What I want to talk about is Craig Breslow, who I felt like answered every question at that thing yesterday. I feel like almost every single question was directed to him. Cora spoke briefly. Kennedy had some things to say. But most of not all of them, but like most of the questions were for Breslow, or it certainly seemed that way when I was watching it and listening to it. And a lot of it, I think that's a good thing too, by the way. If a lot of the questions are to Cora, it's usually, what about this? What happened with this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And there weren't a lot, for Cora anyway this year, I think it was a good year for Cora. I think Alex Cora should look at that year and be proud of it. Not just because they made the playoffs, but because of what that roster really was. How you have a lot of role players on that roster, a lot of guys who weren't everyday players here and who you had to really mix and match with on a nightly basis over a long, long baseball season. I mean, to have to do that every single night basically was, I don't think, an easy thing for Alex Cora. And I know that, you know, we're in an era now where matchups are everything and there's a ton of platoon players and all of that. But I feel like with the Red Sox in particular, it's not like you were talking about 30, 35 home run hitters here. You were talking about guys who had good numbers against lefties and in the times that they played were productive. And all of them kind of went in the tank at the same time at the end there. But, you know, that was a weapon that they had that kind of compensated for the fact that they weren't really much of a slugging team. They weren't a big home run hitting team. Alex Bregman was considered the big right-handed power bat that they brought in, and he did provide that, but he only hit in the teens in home runs, partially because of his injury, but also partially because he fell off at the end of the year and may not be the power hitter that we were hoping that he was when we signed him. I remember Alex Cora addressing the defense today. People asked him about the defense, and that was certainly a valid critique. And he pointed to some of the advanced metrics saying, you know, he did lead the league in errors, but in terms of this stat and that stat and all these other defensive, you know, the nerdy stats, we were 10th, 11th, middle of the pack, that type of thing. And he might be right. I have no idea. But you got to clean up those errors. You just have to clean up those errors. Those errors lead to runs. You could be, chasing down line drives and getting the balls that you don't normally get to, which I understand Alex Bregman is an upgrade over someone like Rafael Devers. It's not even close in terms of what they do defensively. But that doesn't mean that when Bregman commits an error and allows a run to score, that suddenly hand waved that away because he was better than Rafael Devers. Like, that's still, you have to clean that up. You have to be a team that can clean up stuff like that, especially if you're fielding the ball better than you would think, especially if you're getting the more of those type of hits. Well, then you have to actually follow through with it. Otherwise, it's not really worth anything. You know, okay, well, yeah, we're getting all these extra balls, but with all the errors, it kind of washed out in the end, and it was sort of like we weren't really getting all those extra balls in the first place. And I just sort of think that that's like circular reasoning. And really, if you're concerned about that, then make that an emphasis in the offseason. Craig Breslow did talk about what the emphasis will be in this offseason, and he started right away with the pitching staff, Joe, if we could.
No one will sit in this seat and say that there's enough pitching in the organization. I think we saw that in the second half, and you know, we could list out the pitchers that were on the IL, and it just means that depth is so critically important. So, like I said, when we talk about pursuing opportunities to improve the team, bringing in pitching is certainly one of them.
Yeah, and it should be. But I also think that was a tough question for him to answer without sounding like a whiny, you know, that we get too many injuries type of baby, which I don't like when guys like him do that. But I also don't, I mean, you can't deny it this year. You can't deny this year that the injuries devastated.
Right.
That
it was a reasonable amount of injuries and guys who just didn't live up to it. You know, Walker Buehler, just to name a guy.
Sure. And Walker Buehler, I mean, listen, Dustin May, that was sort of a desperation move at the deadline too. But I think they did that sort of looking at what their situation was and knowing that, and I'm sort of saying this in retrospect right now, but if they wanted to finish that season strong, then trading away Connolly early, trading away Peyton Tolley and some of these guys who ended up Kyle Harrison, guys who ended up pitching relevant and important starts for you down the stretch, including a postseason game, you trade those guys away for Joe Ryan and something happens to Joe Ryan and then you're really SOL. You know, then you're calling up Ponce de Leon again, getting him off the beach and having him come pitch for you in the playoffs. And listen, again, I don't like making excuses. I didn't really want to do that at all during the pregame this year. All throughout the pregame show, I did not like coming up with excuses for why certain things happened that didn't go their way. And, you know, listen, I thought this whole broadcast, all of the Red Sox games that got broadcast, Will Fleming, Middlebrooks, Lenny, Sean, Monaco, Lou, Joe, everybody, Cooper Boardman, everybody who was a part of it, did not let this team off the hook this year. They were critical. You know, they were critical when the situation called for it, obviously. I mean, listen, we're all a bunch of honks when it comes down to it. But when the situation called for it, it was a pretty critical broadcast, more so than in years past, I think. I like to think I set the tone with that. But, you know, you don't buy into excuses. You can't just make an excuse for everything and expect fans around here to be placated by that. It doesn't work that way. You look around, you see what's going on with these other teams. You see what other teams are doing. You see what other teams did at the trade deadline. That's what makes it most frustrating, is you saw other teams go out there and really make a commitment to shoring up their rotation. Shane Bieber's pitching for the Blue Jays tonight. Shane Bieber, who was a Cy Young Award winner, 3 years ago? Whenever it was? And he was on the trade block, and he was coming off an injury, and it was a bit of a risk, but they went out and they took it. Dustin May was a bit of a risk, too. But I'd go with Bieber 10 times out of 10. They were willing to go there. They were willing to pony up the extra capital to get a guy like him. The Red Sox weren't. The Red Sox, I think, felt like the moves that they made were them going above and beyond, because those were probably moves that when you punched them into the computer, spat back out, nope, does not compute. trading a prospect for Steven Matt not does not compute with us. The value is not there, blah, 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 whatever they say. And same thing with Dustin May. And I think the Red Sox sort of looked at that and said, nope, it's too important. We got to make these trades. And they thought that those two trades, even though they weren't really anything, were them really going above and beyond and trying to, you know, throw their old routine out the window and make something happen there. Yes, Joe?
Well, I just want to push back on that because if we remember those last 30 minutes or so of the deadline, there came that report that the Sox are making a last effort push for Joe Ryan. And a lot of those opinions, at least from the people I talked to, kind of have that feeling that Craig Breslow was more focused on getting that Joe Ryan trade, that he didn't have any other backup move. So he went last minute and probably did what you were saying, typing in the numbers.
Okay, well, can I push back on that? Ryan's been an ace this entire year. You finally decide you're going to make a push for him at the very last second at the trade deadline. Where was all that waiting around when Rafael Devers was on the trade block? Where was all this patience, you know, and we're going to wait until the very last minute? You were ready to move on from Rafael Devers months before the trade deadline. So don't tell me you had to wait till the last minute with Joe Ryan. I'm sorry. That doesn't mean anything to me. You made a choice to do that. Not you, but like Breslow and the front
I specifically
office.
Called Craig Breslow and said 5:20 and was like, listen, Joe Ryan, he's good.
And I think the Red Sox would have been much better off here in the playoffs with Joe Ryan and, you know, Bayo as your third guy and having Ryan go after Crochet. I thought that would have been a really sick 1-2 punch there. You're probably on to the next round if that's what you end up having. And you're putting that up against Rodon and probably not Schlittler. But you know what? If you had Joe Ryan, you don't even see Schlittler. You know, you have Joe Ryan, you're on to the next round. You're already getting your ass kicked by the Blue Jays, like, right now. So, that's...
Just sidetrack him real quick. I think they'd put up more of a fight than the Yankees would.
I think the Braintree Little League team would be putting up more of a fight than the Yankees are. By the way, we don't get Fox Sports 1 in here. I just tried putting it on. Did you see me throwing a little temper tantrum during the commercial break? That's why. I put it on Fox Sports 1, and it's like, oh, there's something wrong with the dish in here. What do you mean there's something wrong with the dish? I get every other channel except that one, the one I want to watch. It'd be one thing if it's like, oh, you don't subscribe to this channel, which we don't subscribe to half the channels on this thing here. But we do get Fox Sports 1. I know we get it. Are you getting it in there? 219, or is it giving you that
same thing?
No,
I'm not getting it either.
Okay, so something's going on.
There is some rain coming in, so it could be weather-related. You never know.
Maybe the Yankees aren't letting people from outside the tri-state area watch the game now. They don't even want you to watch it on TV anymore. Forget about going to Yankee Stadium. You can't even watch it in Boston. They know it's going to bring us like a tiny little shred of joy to see the Yankees get eliminated. They're like, no, yeah, you can't watch. Yeah. We're the Yankees. Yeah. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones. Ryan's in Boston. He has a thought on Joe Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Akin. How you doing, dude?
What's up?
Hope all is well. Hey, I just got a quick question. I mean, I'm all in on the Sox needing another arm and, you know, preferably a righty bat. With that being said, everybody's been throwing Joe Ryan around for, it seems like, the past 18 months. I don't understand why this organization is so infatuated with him. I get he was an ace this season, and I understand all that, but you're the Red Sox, man. You have a loaded franchise. You have that Rafi Devers money. You have money before the Rafi Devers money. You can go get anybody. Why are they so hyper-focused on this one player? I don't understand. Can you explain it to me?
Sure. I mean, I don't know if I can tell you exactly why they like this one guy and not, you know, other pitchers. There's other guys like Cabrera and in Florida and some other guys that I liked at the deadline that didn't end up moving. But I can tell you with Joe Ryan, what's attractive about him to me is the fact that he's under 30 years old. His contract, I believe, how many years does he have in his contract?
If they had acquired him at the deadline, he would have had 2 extra seasons of control.
Okay.
So he would have been through next year and the year after that.
Okay, yeah, he's earliest arbitration eligible in 2026, earliest free agency in 2028. So there's a couple of years of control there too, which is what drove the price up, I think, beyond what the Red Sox were willing to part with. But that said, I mean, you know, you're not talking about some kid who was a flash in the pan here. You're talking about a guy who is a good pitcher, and in 3 of his 5 seasons, he's given you an ERA of like 3.60 or under. That's pretty good. His whip in his career, he doesn't walk anybody. He has a career whip of 1.063, which means that he is very, very good around the strike zone, doesn't walk a lot of guys. He was an all-star this past year. He struck out a ton of guys. Had a big strikeout numbers 2 years ago, too, hovering right around 200. I mean, listen, infatuated, I don't know if I'm infatuated with him, but if he's somebody that's out there on the block and the Twins are blowing up their roster like they did here at the deadline, then that's someone the Red Sox should be in on. They just had big-time success with Garrett Crochet. You could say the same thing about Garrett Crochet. Why were they so obsessed with him? And going out there, they tried to trade for him at last year's deadline. Didn't work out. They went back at it in the offseason, ended up getting him, signed him to a big extension. You sign Joe Ryan, you extend him, I'd be happy with that. I think that'd be a good use of the Rafael Devers money. That's what you do when you're a big market team, Ryan. Like, that's what I, when I think of big market teams, when I think of the Dodgers and the Yankees and, you know, the Phillies and the Cubs, all these big market teams and how they're moving and operating right now, that's what they're doing. They're going out and they're getting the Joe Ryans of the world.
And you won't believe the number of people who push back against a Garrett Crochet trade. They now look stupid.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of people doing that, but yeah, I'm sure there were. I'm sure there were people out there
that need to get on Twitter more often.
Didn't believe that he could go deep into a season like he did, that he wasn't, you know, ready for the bright lights of Boston. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons. I didn't really subscribe to any of them. But sure, yeah. I mean, listen, you're going to find someone, Chris Broussard, you're going to find someone who disagrees almost every single time. I find them all on the text line and on Twitter every single time I open
my
mouth. It's true. I do, Chris, but what can you say? Let's go to Johnny in Brooklyn. Hey, Johnny.
Darkhand, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Guy, what's up?
Yo, all right. Nice to have a football team again.
Yes.
But I called on the Red Sox here. Kyle Schwarber, are we in, we out? Is there any shot? Is it going to cost too much money? Is that a fair trade for the Devers thing? What's your take? Thanks, Dan.
Kyle Schwarber, thanks for the call, Johnny. I'd love Kyle Schwarber back. He's 0 for his last 21. I don't know if you've been watching him. He sucks right now. I mean, everybody in the Phillies kind of sucks right now. Bryce Harper's not doing anything. Castellanos, Trey Turner, all those guys. They're all coming up really small right now. And the Phillies are getting some heat for it. And Dave Dombrowski's getting some heat for it. And he doesn't deserve to be. I think he's doing everything you want a guy to do in that position. Be careful, Philly. Don't you run him off. I'd take him back here in a cocaine heartbeat. Are you kidding me? I would take him back here so fast. And that was not a Mark Sanchez joke. But I would take him back here very, very quickly. And that's not even because I dislike Craig Breslow. It's just because I liked his attitude. I liked the way the team operated when he was in charge. I liked the freedom that they gave him. And if they gave Breslow that kind of freedom, and they sort of did this past offseason, then I'd feel differently about it. But, you know, Breslow, he's out there in Philly. He made that team a 96-game winner. And they're starting to get a little uneasy. I would just say, watch out, Philly. The grass isn't always greener. Okay, on the other side of that fence there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. One other thing that they talked about at pretty good length was the situation with Alex Bregman. And is Alex Bregman going to resign? Do you expect that he's going to resign? Do you want him to opt in? And what was that all going to be about? And here is how they answered that question. I'm sorry, Alex Bregman. And this was, by the way, before we get to this Bregman sound, you notice who wasn't there? You notice John Henry wasn't there? Is anyone surprised John Henry wasn't there? I'm a little surprised he wasn't there. I thought that would have been a pretty nice opportunity for John Henry to give a little FaceTime to the local media, maybe light up a Cuban or two, and sit there and, you know, speak a little bit, let people hear his voice. He's nothing if not a bit of a front runner, right? You know, the team's looking good. I thought maybe he'd be there, but he wasn't. Anyway, here's what they said about Alex Bregman.
You know, I think best to keep those conversations internal. Obviously, Alex has the right, you know, kind of as structured in his contract to opt out, and he's going to do what's best for his family. At the same time, I will not miss an opportunity to talk about his contributions on the field, in the clubhouse, to the coaching staff, to the front office. You know, every conversation we've had, I learned something. I think that impact and influence has rubbed off on his teammates, and by all accounts, he's loved his time in Boston as well.
To that end, then, what is the significance to the 2026 Red Sox to keeping him?
You know, I mean, I think we'll let that play out, but the significance would be, you know, having, you know, a great player, a proven winner, a strong defender, someone who fits this park really well on our roster.
Okay, saying all the right things. It's going to come down to one guy, and that guy is not Alex Bregman. It's going to come down to Scott Boras, and it's going to come down to what the market is for Bregman outside of Boston here. If I'm another team, I look at this Bregman season, and I have a lot of things you got to weigh, you know, a lot of pros and cons you got to weigh here with Alex Bregman. The biggest pro is, and this is no pun intended, but his professionalism, his leadership ability, his defense at third base, his influence in the locker room, his influence over younger players. All those things are very important, and I think a big part of what makes the Alex Bregman experience, so positive. But also, if I'm a team like Detroit, if I'm a team like whoever needs a third baseman out there or a right-handed power bat, and I'm looking at this season and I'm looking at what he did at Fenway Park, again, I mean, the splits are what they are, but he was not – a lot of people expected him to come to Fenway and mash and just mash all year long and just wear out that green monster. And he was one of those prototypical Fenway swing type of guy. You know, everybody says that whenever the Red Sox sign anybody, oh, he's got a great swing for Fenway. Just say that Fenway is small. Stop saying they have a great swing for Fenway. Just say it's a small ballpark. And if they're right-handed, then they're probably going to get a lot of doubles, you know, on what would have been pop-outs in a lot of other places. But the point is, with Alex Bregman, even when you go with the home and away splits, he was... on the road, a 296 hitter this year. At home, he only hit 246. He had a higher OPS on the road than he had at home. And all that to say this, if he wasn't really mashing at Fenway, how do you think he's going to do at Comerica? How do you think he's going to do in San Diego? Or how do you think, not that San Diego needs it, but you know what I mean? Like some of the bigger parks, and if that's your everyday guy, how do you expect that that's going to go? He tapered off quite a bit at the end of the season, and the same thing happened last year in Houston, and that's why Houston was ready to let him go. It's a big investment, and it's one that the Red Sox were willing to make. They paid him $40 million for this season, so they are in on the Alex Bregman experience to an extent, but it's really just going to come down to what Scott Boras asks for. And the Red Sox have many, many times before backed away from the negotiating table with Boras because they just thought it was too much. And I don't know if what they saw this year pushes them in the direction of we'll overspend and spend too much, or conversely, we don't really love what we saw at the end of the year, and sorry, Scott, we'd like to have him, but the price just isn't right, you know, like Pawn Stars style. Like, I'd really love to have this thing, but I got to make some money too here, you know what I mean? Like how Rick Harrison always treats every single one of those guys. Oh, it's worth $50,000, I'll give you 10. You know, I got to make money on it, you know how it works. And that's, I think, sort of what's going on here. A bit of a Pawn Stars conundrum with Alex Bregman. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will get to your phone calls in just a minute. We'll have your New England Nightly News as well. It's all coming up next here on the Christian Arcan Show. First, here's Joe Braverman.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Christian Arcan Show here at WEEI. I was wondering what was going to happen. I let that breathe just for that exact reason. You're my shining star. The Yankees. Yankees got one in the box there, too. Before they were even done doing that stupid roll call they do out in center field, Vlad Guerrero hits one 425, 27 feet straight out to dead center field. Blue Jays go up 2-1. Yankees, though, are fighting back. Giancarlo Stanton just singled home Aaron Judge to make it 2-1. So perhaps the Yankees don't go quietly into that good night. But I hope that they do, because I'd love to be celebrating a Yankee elimination here in the Christian Arcand Show, although not sure it's going to time out that way, unless it's a very, very quick game, and it already doesn't seem like it's going to be. So we'll keep you posted on what's going on there. The Blue Jays take a big lead. Maybe we can start celebrating prematurely, preemptively. Let's go.
Because
to the
that's
phones.
Always a good idea.
It certainly is. It's never gone wrong before. Let's go to the phones. Jake is in Boston. Jake, before you get to your point, can I just say I looked at Antonio Gibson's wife's Instagram and I did not find it particularly offensive. What did you think was so bad about her Instagram?
That's because you're going to the school of Adam Jones, like tweet and retweet 720 people when he's right. She was on there way too much. Six posts on a game day is way too much. It screams, I want to be an influencer versus I want to be a supportive wife.
Why can't you be both of those things? You can be an influencer and a supportive. Well, look at Taylor Swift.
Well, that's one of those points. Let me get into that in a second. First, okay. I want to touch on this Carolina story, Belichick, WRAL story. Some real reporting here about Bill, which we don't have a lot of here. Mm-hmm. But today's development, in addition to the Hulu documentary being canceled, is that Armand Hawkins, the cornerback's coach, was suspended after this story because he, quote-unquote, gave a player's family extra sideline passes. The story talks about Bill's guys, the non-Bill's guys. So he was one of Steve's guys, who Steve brought over from Washington. And let's be honest, Stevie's starting to be a chip off the old block because he definitely knew about the cheating and the fact that that was wrong and did what a Belichick would do, which is throw the underling under the bus. I think that says all you need to know about Steve. Then on to Taylor. The wedding of the century happens on June 13th in Rhode Island.
Yeah, buddy.
And as we all know, Christian, there is a very needy local sports owner who desperately wants to be there. So how does Robert Kraft get his invite into the wedding?
You tell me.
Well, he throws stupid money at aging Travis Swift next winter after the season ends, mm-hmm. and he pulls a Gronk or a Brady and retires for 3 or 4 weeks before Robert says, here's $18 million to be our third tight end. I need an invite to that wedding. Then Robert, on top of that, this is how he makes his money.
Well, how's
back,
he going to do that after the wedding if they're already married? You know, what's he going to do?
No, they're married in June 26th. Free agency's in March.
Oh, I see.
So
okay.
Time it with me.
Yeah.
Time it
okay.
with me.
Got it.
Then he convinces, this is how he makes the money back, and I don't blame him for this. He convinces Travis not to wear number 87, which would not play here with the Gronkowski fan base, mm-hmm. but to wear number 3 and to wear it with the name Swift on the back. And while we would have a washed, overpaid tight end, Robert Kraft would get to entertain Taylor Swift in his suite on national TV on multiple occasions.
Okay. Thank you, Jake. I gave you about 2.5 minutes there to land that plane. And I got to tell you, I love Jake's calls, but I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Going to sign Travis Kelce and make him wear number 3 with Swift on the jersey so that Taylor Swift can go up to Robert Kraft's suite and sit with him? Isn't there an easier way for Robert Kraft to meet Taylor Swift? He's a billionaire. Can't he set up? Can he have her like sing at his kid's bar mitzvah or something? Like, isn't that usually how that goes? I'm not even kidding, by the way. Guys with that kind of money, they get people, maybe not Taylor Swift, but they get like famous singers to come and sing at their kids' birthday parties. It's like Rihanna and I think 50 Cent did that. Well, like that happens. That happens a lot. I'm not being a wise guy here. So if he really wants to meet Taylor Swift that bad, I'm sure he could probably figure out a way. I don't think he has to go through that whole rigmarole there with Travis Kelce. Jay is in North Carolina. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
What's up, pal?
Good. Hey, look, very impressive win against Buffalo, but the axiom is they got 4 games coming up that are supposedly a cakewalk. I don't believe it. The axiom is that on any given day, one team can beat another. So I don't want the Patriots to be taking the next 4 games lightly.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, Chris?
I agree. I think that they should not overlook teams like the Saints in New Orleans. That's a team that has weapons at running back and at wide receiver and a defense that so far has held up okay this year. Okay? I look at a team like the Tennessee Titans, who I don't think are any good. I think that Tennessee Titans team kind of sucks. But I also know that there was a rather unpleasant breakup there with Mike Vrabel and the Strunk family and that entire organization. And that may be one of those games that maybe Vrabel gets a little overhyped for, maybe tries to do a little too much. We've seen that happen before with various coaches, maybe not here all the time, but we've seen that happen before. It'll be a big-time, I think, revenge game for a lot of people in Tennessee. And, you know, that coach is going to want to try and score a win over the guy that was just there, and, lest everybody start pining for him to come back. And, again, Tennessee stinks, so you should be able to win that game. Cleveland is a team that's had some surprising games so far and some surprising wins. Tampa Bay is the one we've all circled. Cincinnati, I mean, listen, there's no guarantee that they're going to run roughshod over this next stretch. But after beating Buffalo in Buffalo in prime time, the way that they beat them, they should have the confidence and the momentum to maybe not win every single one of these games here, but at the very least play and contend and take care of business. That was a take care of business kind of game. They shocked a lot of people, but they also took care of business in a very real way. And that's sometimes more important than putting up a ton of points and, you know, shutting out the other team. Like, can you, when it comes down to it, when it's nut-cutting time in the fourth quarter and you need to pick up a first down and you need to make a big kick and you need to shrug off a 350-pound defensive lineman to make a pass, can you do it? And they did. They took care of business on all of those fronts. And that's something that should not go unnoticed at all. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Without any further ado, let's get to the New England Nightly News.
New England Nightly News.
Okie dokie. So, for the Nightly News tonight, I want to take it to a scene that we probably all saw in the news over the weekend, which was down right in the south end at the corner of Tremont Street and Mass Ave, where a police car was lit on fire thanks to some fireworks and what sounded like a big group of hoodlums, if we have the news clip here, Joe.
Here at the intersection of Mass Ave and Tremont Street, police have confirmed with us that right here behind me, a Boston police cruiser went up in flames early this morning, and they say this was an intentional attack by a large group of people. Now, the video that you're seeing right now was sent in from a viewer who witnessed all of this chaos, showing fireworks being thrown at a cop car. Police say just after 2 a.m. today, they responded to a large-scale vehicle takeover here at the intersection. There was a crowd of more than 100 people who began attacking marked Boston police cruisers, but one of them was destroyed after a fire engulfed the vehicle from fireworks that ignited the cruiser. And here you can see some close-up shots of the damage to the police cruiser. The inside of the vehicle completely gutted, the front windshield cracked, and the rear window shattered. Police say two Rhode Island residents, Julian Bowers, 18, and William Cantwell, 19, were both taken into custody this morning. The two will both face multiple charges and will be arraigned in Roxbury District Court.
Okay, so if you missed it and you didn't see, it was quite a scene. It was very late at night down there in the Back Bay South End area, Tremont and Mass Ave, very big, very sort of, you know, busy intersection. And you probably saw the video of the cop car. It was one of those SUVs, those Boston police SUVs, up in flames, like an $80,000 car probably, just burning in the night. And you heard the story there, and there's a big part of it that I feel like anybody who's even just paid a little bit of attention to this story has had the same reaction, which is, wait a minute, there was a mob of 100 people. They burned a set of police car on fire, and only two people got arrested? Only two kids got arrested? And if you saw these kids, they're kids. I mean, they're, you know, teenagers. I'm not saying they should, you know, get a slap on the wrist here. Those kids are getting in trouble, boy. But I was surprised that the way the story was being framed made it seem like there was this big mob of people. And that's a part of Boston where if you get, you know, you get the call, you can have a lot of cops down in that area very quickly. And I think that's what ended up happening. I mean, a lot of people responded to it and a lot of cops responded. And I thought, this is interesting. So I reached out to some of my friends on the force, and I was surprised to hear that maybe this isn't all getting reported exactly right. And I'm not saying that I'm guaranteeing what I heard here is exactly the truth. But the gist of what I heard is that these are the same crew. It's the same crowd, the revelers, as they're called, who go out on Sunday. Sometimes they're out there on the dirt bike. Sometimes they're out there, you know, just causing trouble. And listen, I mean, I don't think what they're doing was good. And obviously, if you shoot a firecracker at a cop car, it's pretty aggressive. There was another kid out there with like a construction pole breaking the windows. Like, that's pretty aggressive. You're going to get in a lot of trouble with doing that. But, you know, this is when it was sort of presented as this big angry mob. I was told, actually, now it was just the two, and there wasn't really some big group when everybody showed up. And the idea maybe is that these kids who clearly are not, you know, they're committing a crime, but they shot a firecracker at a police car, which is a very stupid thing to do, but I don't think intended to blow the thing up the way it did. It sounds like, again, I'm not getting the full story, but it sounds like maybe they shot it at the car and it got stuck in the front and then overheated and then it caught on fire, and it was not necessarily what the intention of the kids were. And if you look at these two kids, they're 18 years old. I mean, these are young kids. And they were from Rhode Island, too. Both kids were from Rhode Island. I guess this is like sort of a weekly thing. Not that they burn up police cars, but it's like a weekly thing on weekends that these kids, the revelers, all come out and do something. And sometimes it's, you know, no big deal. Sometimes it's a big deal. I've always thought, and like, I think these are some of the same crowd that's out there on the dirt bike. You know, you saw that when they took over 93 that one time and they're all out there on the bikes. And that's dangerous, obviously. And I don't, you know, I don't think that that's okay. But there's worse things that you can do, you know, like it's not exactly the crime of the century. This came close to being that. You shoot a firecracker at a police car and it sets the car on fire with a cop in it. I mean, that takes it to another level. But based off of what I'm hearing, and again, it's just what I'm hearing, it sounds like maybe this wasn't exactly like Antifa swarming down on a bunch of cops, you know, like that. And I think that's sort of the direction that some of the reporting's going with it. Like, there was this big mob of people trying to attack a cop or do this to a cop or whatever, and it seems like maybe that's not exactly the case. That's all. And that's all I'm going to say about it, because I don't want to make it seem like I know certain things or have certain information or whatever. I'm just going by sort of what the gist is from the people that I know involved in that. Either way, if you are an 18 or a 19-year-old young man or young woman and you happen to be listening to the show right now, let me just give you a little piece of advice as someone who's had my run-ins with law enforcement over the years. Fireworks, if you're going to shoot off fireworks in Boston, you can't do it on Mass Ave and Tremont Street, man. You are going to be seen. There are cameras down there. People live down there. They are going to see you. They are going to know it's you. You are not going to get away with that down there, especially if there's only two of you, okay? They're going to figure it out. If it was a big crowd and they were all doing it and they all ran off in different directions, then yeah, maybe it would be a little harder to track down the people doing that. There's two of you shooting firecrackers, and not to mention the fact they're shooting them in the direction of law enforcement. So I don't know. I mean, I'm very out of touch with what the youth are into these days. Joe, maybe you could tell me a little bit more about this.
I am as far away from that as you are.
Really? You're not one of the revelers?
No. At 2 a.m. when I was 18 or 19, I wasn't going, you know what would be smart? Going to a crowded intersection and shooting off some fireworks at law enforcement.
Like, I may have shot off fireworks when I was 18 or 19.
I was about to say, are you talking from experience with law enforcement, with fireworks?
I've definitely never shot one in the direct. Like, that's... What do you think? They're not going to see where the firework came from? It leaves a streak from where you are to where
they're
it goes.
They're like, hey, cop, look over there. Beep, 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 beep.
It's like you follow the yellow brick road of smoke right back to where the thing got shot off from, and there you are. You're probably going to figure out it was you there, genius. Yeah, pretty stupid, and those kids are going to get in a lot of trouble, and they deserve to get in a lot of trouble.
Have they learned nothing from Jason Pierre-Paul or Najee Harris?
But, I mean, just in terms of, like, I know people who have and you know, worked in like the gang unit down in the Boston Police Department. And they're like, yeah, this really, compared to that, wasn't much of a big deal at all. You know, there's more important and more dangerous things going on in the city like that, despite the fact that, you know, as people often say Boston is a very safe city, but every once in a while stuff like this goes down. And this one was in particular. Just the images of the car on fire right in the middle of that intersection, that very well-known and, like, very busy intersection, even at 2 a.m. And there's a car, just a cop car up in flames. I mean, it looked like a Batman movie, you know? It looked like Dark Knight Rises or something. And it was pretty bad. But just the only thing I'm saying is that I've heard from some people who would know is that maybe it wasn't quite as bad as it's being made out to believe. And obviously, the officer, I believe, is okay. And those two kids are going to get justice, what's coming to them. And I think all is going to be handled correctly here. But, yeah, my advice to those of you out there, you youngsters out there looking for something fun to do on a Sunday, maybe keep the fireworks at home. And if you got to shoot off fireworks, don't do it on Mass Ave and Tremont Street. And don't point them at a police car. And if you just follow those simple rules... You can maybe not get banned from the city of Boston like those two kids from Rhode Island did. And there we go. That is your New England Nightly News. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. All right, when we come back, I haven't talked about this very much yet, but we got to talk about this Mark Sanchez thing. That's coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Well, years ago, we talked to Tom Moore, then in Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator. You got a busted play here. And then Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose, and it's alive. And then going into the end zone is Steve Gregory, who's had an interception, two fumble recoveries, and a touchdown. Gosh.
I have never seen this before in my life.
Okay, so Mark Sanchez over the weekend, if you hadn't heard, and if you hadn't, you're probably living under a rock, was involved in an altercation in Indianapolis. And the more details came out about it, the more bizarre it got. I mean, it started off as Mark Sanchez was stabbed in an alley in Indianapolis, and that was all we knew at first, and that he was rushed to the hospital and that he was in critical condition, I think, at first or something. I forget exactly.
Stable
condition. Maybe he had a critical injury. I forget exactly what it was. Doesn't matter. And at the time, everyone was thinking, oh, well, we hope Mark Sanchez is okay. What happened? Did someone attack him? Did someone, you know, did he get jumped? Did he get mugged? What could have possibly gone on here? I think the initial thought that everyone had was not Mark Sanchez attacked someone and that person defended themselves and stabbed them and was right to do so. You know, like that just, that didn't even cross my mind. I just assumed, oh, someone saw Mark Sanchez and thought, oh, that guy's got money or something. Let's go rob him. You know, that's what I thought. And then the details of the incident came out. And they were in a bar in Indianapolis. Sanchez was outside of the bar. He was running wind sprints in an alley at 1 in the morning-ish, right? I mean, it was 2 in the morning. I forget what time it was. It was late at night. It was past when anything good ever happens, especially if you're out running wind sprints in an alley.
Whatever time that police car lighting on fire or whatever, that time.
Yeah, right.
That we talked
now.
About in the nightly news.
Whenever the witching hour, if you will. And he's running up and down, All of a sudden, this car pulls up. And at first, it was reported that the car was a like DoorDash or like a delivery driver or something like that. Turns out, it was actually a guy whose job it is to go to restaurants and dispose of the grease and the oil so that it doesn't clog up the pipes. And they take it somewhere. Sometimes it gets reused. There's a whole bunch of different things. And there's also, I think, some people who sometimes go to restaurants and steal it. You know, there's like an industry for that type of thing. For that kind of grease and oil. And, you know, you don't want it to congeal in the pipes and screw up your pipes. So they have someone they pay to take it away. They put it in a truck and they take it away. I don't know where they go with it. But I remember that from when I was in the restaurant industry. And this guy who was an old man, 69-year-old man, parks his car in a place that Mark Sanchez was not happy it was parked there. According to the video, which I haven't seen, but the police saw it. And they said that Sanchez basically attacked the guy. He went back to his car, tried to pepper spray Sanchez. Sanchez kept coming, and the guy who was, just, you know, old guy, and Sanchez was 38 and a pro athlete, former pro athlete, coming at him and thinking he was going to really hurt him. He stabbed Sanchez, and then that's what happened. I guess Sanchez went into the bar, and the people in the bar took care of him and made a tourniquet and, you know, tried to stop the bleeding and all that, waiting for the ambulance, and it was this whole crazy scene. And after reviewing the footage, they realized that Sanchez was the aggressor. The guy was defending himself. And they went to the hospital and they arrested him at the hospital. He woke up handcuffed to his hospital bed like Two-Face in the Batman movies. I don't know why I'm so into Batman movies tonight. Why is every reference I'm making about a Batman movie? But that was sort of like what happened, right?
You need to go home and watch The Dark Knight.
Two-Face wakes up with the hand. He's handcuffed. He's trying to get away, you know, and he can't. And then the Joker walks. Ah, I'm going to get you. But he's handcuffed to the hospital bed like Two-Face. And I don't want to make light of the fact because he was stabbed in the chest. Like, it's not like, you know, like that's serious. He was seriously injured. But if you look at this guy that he got in the fight, where he had this huge gash in his cheek, like his cheek was coming apart at the seams almost. It was gruesome. It was really awful. And now the question everyone's having is, what was Mark Sanchez doing? Because that's not the behavior of a guy who's just had a few beers, I don't think. If Mark Sanchez was the type of guy who would assault an elderly man after a couple of drinks, we'd have known that about him by now, right? He's 38 years old. He was in the spotlight. He was the quarterback of the New York Jets. Like, we never heard anything like that about him.
Two straight AFC championships his first 2 years.
Sure. At the Patriots' expense. One of them. Or both of them, I think. No, one of them the Patriots lost to the Ravens. That was 2009, and then 2010 they lost to the Jets. So, yeah, it was two in a row, but only one where they beat the Patriots. Either way, not important. But we would have known that. He was the quarterback of the Jets. Like, that's New York City. That's a media group that is not going to cover up a guy going out and getting in fights late at night. You know, it's not the way it works. You do that, you're on the back page of the Post, you're on the back page of the Daily News, you're on the back page of everything. Everyone's going to be writing about that. So that doesn't strike me as what was going on there. And the question now is, was he under the influence of something else? And I'm not going to sit here and speculate over what substance it may have been. I'm not even going to sit here and say 100% that I know for sure it was his fault. What if he was in there, someone spiked his drink with something, and all of a sudden he wasn't really in control of himself anymore? That's a possibility. Do I think that's super likely? No. But it's a possibility. And at the very least, it's one of those things where, you know, you're starting to hear from Sanchez's family right now, and they're talking about it, and he's going to have a lawyer who's going to defend him. And another side of the story, I'm sure, is going to come out, and it's all really going to come down to the video. And the fact that the police saw the video and arrested him at the hospital knowing that he's this high-profile guy, knowing he's the one who was stabbed, tells me, and I think tells everybody, that they've already got an idea of what they want to try, how it's going to go, and what they believe this, how this whole thing is going to be resolved. Now, he's been charged with misdemeanors. He's been charged with felony assault. We'll see exactly what the outcome is. I'm sure TMZ is going to have the video at some point, and you'll see exactly what led to this and him doing wind sprints in the alley and what he looks like, and if you can tell anything from his state of mind or, you know, the way that he's acting or whatever. It's just, we'll find out all about that, I think, pretty soon here. I'm sure this isn't the type of video that's going to be withheld from the public. It's Mark Sanchez. I'm sure it's going to come out. But holy moly, what an awful, awful story. Just an awful story. And listen, I mean, I joke about whatever. And the fact that it was his fault and that everyone survived makes it a little bit easier to talk about. If someone died or, you know, if he had gotten jumped or mugged, then you're not going to joke about that. But the fact that he started it, like the fact that it was his fault and he ended up getting stabbed by an old man who was picking up grease from a restaurant and Sanchez didn't like where he parked and so he attacked the guy, like that is wild behavior for a guy who is a TV personality. I know it's fine. I mean, but like, you know, he's a well-known TV personality. You see Mark Sanchez, even if you don't know it's Mark Sanchez, you know it's somebody, right? You see that guy walk into a bar or a restaurant, you know that guy's somebody. I don't know who he is, but he's definitely somebody. Oh, is that Mark Sanchez? I remember Mark Sanchez. You know, like that type of thing. He's still in that window where, like, you'd remember him, you'd see him, you go, oh, I know that guy, or that guy's someone, I just can't think of who. And I'm sure a lot of people, when they see him out, when he goes out, probably come up to him and approach him and want his autograph or whatever. He knows that he's very visible and that people recognize him and that, you know, if he's going to be going out like this when he's on the road, that encounters like that will happen. And he's out there attacking old delivery drivers, grease delivery drivers, like that's troubling.
I agree with you, though. More has to come out and more has to unfold before you give, like, a solidified opinion on what actually happened.
And I'm saying right now it doesn't look like there's a lot of great answers here for Sanchez. But I guarantee you he's probably going to get as good a much better lawyer than the other guy, than the grease delivery guy is going to get. And we'll see. We'll see how this all turns up. There being cameras out there, it's going to be, I think, a lot harder to sway the court of public opinion if the cameras make it seem like it was 100% on Sanchez and nothing else. But there's also the possibility that maybe he was, you know, something, he was drugged or something. I have no idea. But I guess we'll all find out. Anyway, terrible, terrible weekend and a terrible incident. Really unfortunate that all had to happen. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, it's Yankee Elimination Watch. We are going to take a look at the state of the rivalry between the Red Sox and the Yankees as they are getting beat right now 3-1 by the Toronto Blue Jays and could be six innings away from being eliminated from the postseason. Carlos Rodon on the mound. Also, have some thoughts on the Bruins as well. They might surprise some people this year. That's coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.